welcome back to another episode of In the Rearview Mirror, a supernatural retrospective. We are your Hunter hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
And we're here to talk about more episodes of Supernatural with the greatest season of Supernatural.
Don't.
Season 7.
Don't sound so excited about it, bud.
This week we watched Defending Your Life. Honestly, didn't even know that was the title name. I was like, this is the title? Really? Is this? Really? I've never heard of this before.
To be fair, you'd think that had more Egyptian-y vibe to it, but
you would think. Shut Up, Dr. Phil, Slash Fiction, and The Mentalist. Before we even get into any of these episodes, I feel like Season 7, they're just a bunch of fillers. It's just fillers until we build up the Leviathan overarching story, kind of.
Well, yeah, because we're just slowly introducing the Leviathans and stuff.
Honestly, I wish the monsters had been the Leviathans. I think it would have been a little bit more interesting. I don't know. I just feel like that's just... It reminds me of Season 1, Season 2. It's just another random case. I like the idea of it, but I'm kind of like Dean being like, are we the... Well, not Dean in this sense, because I think Sam's just like, you know, I think we have bigger fish to fry right now. And then Dean's just kind of like, well, let's do this case.
Well, the Leviathan need time because they're building up to some big stuff, big picture operations. So, you know, they need a little time to get that together, get the ball rolling. So, in the meantime, they're laying low, and Sam and Dean just need to hunt some regular stuff. I think it makes sense.
I guess. I think, I mean, yeah, whatever. Anyway, so the first episode of Defending Your Life is the Egyptian God Osiris episode, which I kind of forgot completely. I forgot everything about this episode. I thought I knew Season 7, and I was kind of excited for Season 7, but then I was going through it, and I was like, oh, this is why I didn't really care for it as much. But I think we are getting a little bit more character development out of it. Honestly, this is all we get out of this episode. Dean is guilty about everything, which is not uncommon for Dean, also because I think his guilt is growing more, because Sam thanks Dean for Amy.
Yeah.
Nothing else. And yeah. Dean's like, yeah, okay, you're welcome, no problem for killing her.
Yeah, Dean's guilt is not news.
Yeah, I don't know. It was they kept hitting the nail on the head with certain things, like telling Dean, like, hey, you go check out the AA meetings. And Dean's like, I'm not doing that. Kind of like a side thing that I think Sam is just like, hey, maybe you should go check out these AA meetings, because obviously you are
smart
becoming an alcoholic.
No becoming.
Well, I think Sam knew, like, it's like whole thing. Dean's like, yes, I'm a high-functioning alcoholic. But Sam's like, you're almost allowed to drink.
You're
like,
spiraling, though.
Yeah, but this has become to the point of, like, okay, this is no longer healthy coming from me, knowing that I know we drink to forget.
For their situation, it's becoming unhealthy.
Yeah, which is saying a lot. And we do see that a lot, because Dean, I don't remember him drinking this much. Like, I literally don't remember.
I think so. Throughout the seasons, there are moments where he drinks more than usual.
Yeah, I guess. I just kind of forgot everything, I feel like.
Yeah, I didn't remember this episode that much. I liked it, though. I thought it was a good episode. You're clearly becoming less interested in Season 7 as we continue to watch this.
No, it was fine. I mean, they're not bad episodes, but I think I'm seeing it from a different scope, and I understand why. They're not inherently bad. Kind of like the situations that we're getting into, kind of like Dean being unhinged and not caring about Amy, and things don't follow for it. We'll continue. Okay. Hold on. For this episode, we also get the 25th blood cannon.
We do, yes. Guy, bathroom, dog.
Yeah, I do really like the boys are just kind of like, is there a ghost dog? And Sam's like, I mean, can there be ghost cars? And I'm like, you boys have dealt with ghost cars like a million times already. Maybe there is a ghost dog.
Just one ghost car.
No. Baby getting possessed.
Okay, baby got possessed, but baby wasn't a ghost car. There was just one ghost
car. I don't know, but I'm talking about like a few things though.
There was one ghost car, but they have not encountered a ghost dog, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah. And then pretty much for the rest of the episode is just the Osiris thing. I do really like that Sam defends Dean.
That was genius.
He's like, I'm gonna be a lawyer. And he's like, you're gonna be my lawyer, Sam? And he's like, I was gonna be a lawyer. And he's like, you were in pre-law.
Yeah. Well, he was just like, he has a right to an attorney. And Osiris is just like, sure, why not? This will be fun.
He's like, I want
to
do this.
You go ahead, but you be his lawyer.
To be fair, it's kind of funny because thinking back, you're like, Sam, how would you not remember this? I'm like, it's been literally over 100 years for him, probably. It's been a long time since he was in school. It's been a long time
since he's been in school. It's only been like 7 years. 7 years. Mentally, yeah, it's been like 127.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I understand how you remember nothing, Sam. But at the same time, I'm like, I wish you remembered more because it would have been really funny.
He remembered enough.
I know. I'll actually side note, which someone made this post on this, and I want them to rewrite Supernatural this way, was Sam does become a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And everything is pretty much the exact same, but Sam is not hunting with Dean, and he is a lawyer. And so he just helps out with these cases, being a lawyer and disputing everything. Well, all this proof, like, doesn't add up, and he knows the life, and so he's like, yes, I believe you, because I knew a shapeshifter attacked your girlfriend or whatever. Right. He's like, thank you! And so he would get them out or something. I don't know. He would be able to, though. And then, on top of that, they were like, yeah, well, we have this man for, like, grave robbing and armed this and blah, 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 out walks John Winchester and Dean, and he's just like, oh my god, guys, how am I supposed to get you off on this? And I thought it was really, really funny. I would really enjoy that.
That would be great.
Because they'd be like, I understand that this is my weird psychotic brother, but he didn't do it.
Good luck, Sam. Good thing he's going to Stanford for law, because he could not have a subpar law degree to be getting those two off the hook for grave desecration.
I know, seriously.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so going back to Osiris.
Witnesses.
Judge. What did he say? He was a judge, jury, and executioner, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, before all this, Sam and Dean are arguing about how things are black and white now. And see, this just makes me angry, because we've already established that Dean no longer sees in black and white, but yet here he's being like, well, do you see black and white? And then even Sam says this. He's like, what? I don't understand, because Dean is saying to Sam, well, these seem like bad guys. We should just let the ghosts continue doing this. And Sam's like, what is this black and white talk that you're talking about? I don't understand. These people don't deserve to die just because they did something. And Dean's like, I don't know. Maybe they should. It seems pretty black and white to me. And again, I'm like, okay, I thought we went over this character flaw development thing with Sam.
Dean, like, just wants to die.
I guess. He's just reverting back into old Dean. And to me, this doesn't make any sense. And don't say it does make sense, because I don't think it does make any sense based on what he's going through right now. I think he's just reverting back to really bad Dean.
I mean, he is in a state of regression, I think. That is true. He's not doing great. Although he is always kind of suicidal. He's taking it out on others, like projecting that.
Mm-hmm.
He did regress backwards a little bit, I think. Joe being the first witness was very sad, though.
Oh yeah, I forgot Joe was on this.
She just looks so sad as a ghost. And of course, Dean's like, oh, Joe. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I feel guilty about that.
See, this is why I think it gets weird. It's kind of like this catch-22, because Osiris says it's Dean's guilt is being projected, and this is where he's reading it. So if Dean feels he's guilty, he's guilty.
Sure.
And if he doesn't feel guilty, he's not guilty, if that makes sense.
That absolutely makes sense. That's what he said.
Yeah, and so I think Osiris is reading this from an outside perspective, because he thinks that Dean would feel guilty over Joe, and maybe subconsciously, I don't know, because Dean even says later, like, no, I don't feel guilty over it. He's sad. And even Sam's like, yeah, you're just sad, right?
Dean
and
says, like, yeah. Dean does feel guilty. He thinks he feels guilty. Okay, it's until Sam prompts him with, okay, do you really feel guilty about what happened, because that wasn't your fault at all? You didn't kill her, but are you just kind of sad she's dead and not feeling guilty about it? And Dean's like, oh, huh. Yeah, I think so.
I think it's that whole thing of, like, a child not understanding the different emotions, how anger is one emotion. And it's not always anger. You're not angry. You could be frustrated or irritated. Mm-hmm. And those are very different emotions than anger.
Different shades.
Yeah. And so I think it's just that whole thing of, yeah, you think you feel guilty because you feel bad that she died the way she did. But that's not guilt, really. So, I don't know. It was just weird. I understand why they did this, but
I don't think it's weird, because Dean clearly cannot process or deal with emotions. He's not very good at it. For him, there's like five emotions, and guilt is a big one. So if somebody dies working with him, he'll feel guilty about it. That makes sense. But then Sam is like, you know, there's a difference between being sad that someone's dead and being guilty because you caused it. But you didn't cause it, so you're just sad, right? That makes sense. And Dean's like, huh, you're right, that does make sense. He's literally teaching Dean how to figure out his own emotions here. And Dean, he's convinced. He's like, you're right, that makes sense. I shouldn't feel guilty. That's stupid.
Why I think that Dean feels this way is my whole point with Amy, though. Because I know Dean does feel guilty about Amy.
Yeah.
Because he feels guilty that he killed her and lied to Sam.
Yeah.
And I think even later, he's like, maybe I shouldn't have killed her. Maybe I should have let her go. Kind of the after emotion of it. Because he just didn't know how to process it at the time. So I think he really feels guilty about that. And so now Dean being Dean is just kind of like snowballing down everything else.
Yep.
But either way, I think, I don't know, Osiris is just kind of playing into Dean's guilt or what he feels that is guilt.
Osiris just wants to kill him, so he's like, come on, anything, anything, anything. Oh, you feel guilty about that? Great. You're sentenced to death.
Yeah, and I think he's just really tired. And again, it's like Dean's going back in like depression stages, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, Jesus Christ, Dean. You're fine. Please get over it. But
he's
I think
not fine.
I kind of forgot that he's so torn up about Sam still. Mm-hmm. And that's like such a big thing, and I'm just like, whatever though. But I don't know. He just really wants to die, I guess. Because when Osiris is mentioning the third witness, it's most likely going to be Amy. And Dean's just like, never mind, just kill me.
Never mind. Don't tell Sam.
Well,
tell
I think it's just like, don't tell Sam. Would rather die than don't tell Sam. And then Sam's kind of just pissed. Like, what are you doing, Dean?
He's like, we would have more time. And he's like, nope, don't need a third witness. It's fine.
Well, because, oh my gosh, I totally even forgot the beginning conversation that Sam had with Bobby. Or Bobby had with Sam. They had the conversation together.
Okay.
Where one of them was like, yeah, Osiris, the Egyptian god who feeds on guilt.
Yeah.
Who's the guiltiest person you know? And they're like, fuck, Dean.
Bobby's like, you guys got to get out of there right now.
Jesus Christ, man.
That's facts. Bobby knows these boys so well.
Seriously. When Joe's coming after him in the end, you know, to kill him, I liked the, again, literary symmetry of it, but I hated it. That Joe was going to blow up the apartment, or motel, I guess, or whatever they were in.
Yeah, that was good, but also sad.
I loved and hated the flashbacks. We kind of keep continue this on for the next few episodes. Like, mm-hmm. I loved and hated these flashbacks that they keep bringing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of just like, look, remember this. This is what they're thinking about. Because I do really like how you could infer what they're thinking about, but this is more.
Just in case you didn't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a quick refresh on what happened. Their talk before she starts to have to blow him up is sad. Steen's like, you know, I'm sorry, blah, blah. And Joe's like, this isn't your fault. And also, I'm sorry that I have to kill you because he's making me. They're both like, you deserve better. You shouldn't die like this. He could have, you know, tried something. I mean, Joe was a hunter. Like she said, she's like, I know all the tricks. But he could have tried, but he doesn't. He doesn't try at all to even pretend like he's going to try and get out of this. You know, he does say, he's like, I'm 90% crap. If that's gone, what's left? I mean, he literally is feeling like he's not worth anything unless he feels sad and guilty all of the time.
Well, yeah, I think he's just tired of, like, why do I have to fix the world? Can someone else do it for once?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. He's like, great, best friend is dead, Sam's got Lucifer hallucinations, and now there's a new worldwide disaster I have to fix.
That he didn't even cause because he didn't want to do it in the first place.
Yep. But he couldn't stop it, so I'm sure he feels guilty about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they kill him, you know, they end up by the Impala and they have a nice brother talk. And Sam's saying, you know, post hell, he doesn't feel guilty. You know, he's like paid his dues. And Dean the whole time is just like, sounds fake, but okay. Sam's like, yeah, I can process my guilt. And, you know, I feel bad about it, but I can move on from it. And Dean's like, that is ridiculous. Never heard of such a thing. I don't believe it.
Okay, moving on. Shut up, Dr. Phil. This is the witch episode. That I feel like other people know.
This is the Buck Lemming witch episode.
Yeah, which, again, this just goes to show the bad writing. First of all, I really appreciate that it's a husband-wife witches, which you think it's just the wife at first, and then it's the guy, too, and they're just, like, really pissed off at each other the whole time, so they're just getting back at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's stars from Buffy, which I laughed so hard about.
It was great.
Yes, it was Cordelia and Spike, and I was laughing.
Spike and Cordelia.
Yeah.
I love it.
It was pretty good.
This is one that starts with the girl getting roasted at the hairdresser, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yikes.
We got all these weird things, and it's just because the husband had the affair. Don had the affair.
Right.
She's like, I'm getting back at all of you. Although, I mean, I guess that's fair, but you're also like an 800-year-old witch. I guess it doesn't matter, but I don't know.
I was going to say, I feel like you're above the law once you've lived 800 years.
I mean, I understand why they killed all these people, but
they shouldn't have.
No, she was a little petty.
I mean, absolutely. They both were petty.
I don't know. I kind of liked the start of the episode, though. It was interesting that Dean, first of all, wakes up from a horrible nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, the world's unraveling around him. Cass is dying. Sam's hallucinating. He kills Amy. Of course, all these things. I just wanted to bring up that I feel like they put the most important first. So it's Cass dying. So this is kind of being like, going forward, a lot of his trauma is Cass dying. Because that's right then and there. Cass is dead. Even though he hated the guy before. Quote unquote, hated the guy before. Yeah, you're giving me that look. So he tells people. And then Sam's hallucinations. Of course, he's stressed out about that because he's stressed out that Sam's having all these horrible hallucinations and he's gonna die or something. And then he feels guilty about A, killing Amy, or killing Amy and lying to Sam about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the issue and stress there? So it's kind of like this in-between kind of thing that I'm like, okay. So that's why I was like, wow, Cass is first, because that's important more than Sam.
It's the most stressful, distressing thing to him still at the moment. And then on top of, because Sam at least is alive,
mm-hmm.
But he's hallucinating Lucifer, and that's not great.
Mm.
And then on top of that, he did kind of kill a monster that may or may not have deserved to be murdered and lied to Sam about it, which mm-hmm. isn't great either.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not doing it so hot.
Yeah, he goes right to drinking. Obviously, the beer doesn't work. Then he goes straight to the hard liquor. Classy, drinks all of it, or what is left of it, as we see, because the bottle is empty.
You drink what you can drink.
Yeah, so Dean is not doing too hot at all, because who in the world? I can't even imagine going to sleep hungover and then immediately waking up and drinking more.
Well, you've clearly never been an alcoholic. His best friend is dead and is lying to their brother.
Yeah, so I love that Sam comes in after too, and they have this giant argument. I say argument. This is just so like brothers bickering.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so funny, just being like, I hope someone was chasing you. It's like, it's good for you, Dean. Go out for a run every once in a while. He's just like, okay, Lance Armstrong. He's like, that's a biker.
Yeah, it's like, that's bikes.
And then he just kept saying like, okay, whatever.
Just call him Lance Armstrong.
He just said something else, I thought. Some other Armstrong. And he's just like, again, that's not correct. I don't know. I liked this bickering. I think Dean, too, was just kind of looking for a fight. Because the entire time he's telling Sam, like, why are you doing this? This is pointless. Well, there's no point in staying healthy because we're going to die young kind of thing. So I think Dean's just like, there's no point in me running because I'm just going to die or I'm going to drown myself in booze. And on top of that, he's like, yeah, and you stink and you get all sweaty and you're gross and blah, blah. And all I could think of is in that moment, I was like, Dean, isn't that what you did when you hooked up with a lot of women? So what's the difference in Sam running? But I think Dean is so over life and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's just kind of like, that does not sound like a good time anymore.
No, that does not sound like a good time to Dean. Don't they argue on the phone and then Dean's like, yeah, I'll come pick you up. And then he goes directly to a liquor store.
Yeah.
First, he's got to stop at the liquor store because he's out of booze, which is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. And then he gets a flask, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sam's just kind of like, really? Seriously, a flask? Yeah. Dude, even having Sam point it out, there's a problem.
To be fair, he is right. They are always working. So when else would he drink? Sam's like, we're working. He's like, we are always working.
I mean, they're never always working on a case, though. I think that's the biggest thing is, I understand that technically they're always working, they're always on. But if you're on a specific case, I don't know. I kind of get
they're
the thing.
They're FBI agents and Dean's got his flask in his pocket. I love it.
Seriously. Well, I'm trying to think, yeah, I guess you're on call sometimes or most times. But when you're actively working on a case, maybe you shouldn't be drunk.
He's just decently buzz. Leave him alone.
For how much Dean is drinking,
leave him alone.
He cannot be decently buzzed.
He looks like he's fine.
Yeah, that's what a lot of alcoholics think.
He looks fine.
I just think this whole episode is a little weird because we just see more Dean drinking. We have these witches that they end up giving advice to instead of killing them, which I'll flipping get into that.
Right. It's a very strange and messy parallel they
it's
have.
A weird, I don't know, it's super, yeah, I understand they're trying to be like, oh, well, you're together, so you have to get over it, blah, 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 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like that Dean starts off by giving them marital advice.
Right, he's trying to be there against Sam's like, I mean, I guess counsel them if
no, okay, yeah, work. That's fine, but Sam should do the counseling, not Dean the alcoholic.
Dean
who is dealing with his own problems
right
now.
He made some decent points.
I guess.
He helped.
I guess. I do enjoy that the boys were getting beaten to crap by these witches, though.
You really hate these episodes. I guess. He kind of helped.
Listen, I don't like bad writing. I think it's just weird. I think a lot of these episodes are going to be the whole out of character thing.
This one wasn't even bad. It was just mediocre
and
weird.
I'm going to bring up the whole point that, I don't know, I think they're all out of character and kind of not out of character, but it's just weird. And my whole thing with the witches is that at first you're like, okay, they leave and Don comes back to be like, oh, my wife was gonna kill you, so I'm mm-hmm. gonna take these hex bags and blah blah blah.
Thanks,
yeah, seriously. And I'm sitting here kind of like, you guys are gonna let them go? I understand it might be hard to kill them, but you're just gonna let them go? You're not gonna even try to come back and kill them? We're not just gonna mention this when two episodes before Dean kills Amy
mm-hmm.
and then one episode before Dean is literally like, we have to work in black and white. These things are monsters. We need to kill them. Monsters die. They killed four people. And they're gonna let the witches go off scot-free?
Was it four?
Yeah. She killed at least three.
She killed three, and then Don killed...
No. She killed four. Because Don killed... Oh, no, no. Because Don killed the friend, and then they attempted to kill the assistant.
Yes. Yes, that's true. Yes.
Yeah. So, because you have to think about it. It's the girl who got exploded, the guy who got the nails...
Uh-huh.
Wasn't there another... There was another one, I thought, because that was the one on the trip or whatever. Because there was four people working in the department for this landing job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, oh, this guy died a month earlier, though.
Right, yeah. So there were, like, she killed the three out of, the, like, four.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he kills her best friend.
Uh-huh. Just out of spite.
Yeah, obviously.
And then she tries to kill the assistant, because she thinks
that... Yeah, she tried. So it's three for her, one attempted murder, one murder for Don.
Yeah.
So in total... Four murders and one attempt.
At least the monsters kind of have an MO. Like, there was a reason. Amy was just like, yeah, I was trying to help my son survive because I need this to survive. As you have these dumb witches that are like, I'm killing people out of spite and to be petty.
Yeah.
For no other reason other than my own entertainment. And the boys are like, nah, it's fine. We're going to let them go. What? Bad writing.
I mean, that wasn't optimal.
They never mention it ever again.
Don saved their life, but also, like...
That doesn't matter.
Why did they kill them before that could have happened?
Hey.
What?
Amy saved Sam's life. Does that mean nothing to Dean?
No.
No, it doesn't. So, it just doesn't make any sense.
They have witch-killing bullets. It would be easy. It's not like they're struggling to kill the Leviathan. They know how to kill them.
They could go back, because obviously that's like...
They've already lived 800 years. They've
had enough. I know. I don't know. It was just kind of weird, and I was like, okay, whatever. Maybe they'll sick other hunters, but we never hear from them ever again. I'm just like, okay, this was dumb.
Yeah, definitely. These guys definitely should have been murdered.
Yeah, I don't know why they weren't.
Definitely, if it's between Amy and these two, definitely let Amy live and absolutely kill these
guys. Seriously.
Well, I mean, again, you know, Buck Lemming, so they don't make great choices.
No. Yeah, I don't know. It just didn't make any sense. The only part of this episode that kind of continues with the boys' drama is that they have their brother bromance going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam's just kind of like, please, just talk to me. Let me Dr. Phil you now. And Dean's just kind of like, oh yeah, all that crap. Yeah, and Sam's like, it's not crap. It's worked. Please just talk to me. Please, anything. And Dean, again, this just keeps reiterating the fact that Dean literally says, Sam, I am so very, 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 very tired. Everything is on me. I feel responsible for everything. That is who I am.
Those are his words. He's like, I literally feel bad about everything that's ever happened, ever.
And see, that's the whole thing going back to that episode, is that it's just, how, Dean, are you not getting through your head that Sam literally explains to you, you shouldn't feel bad, you shouldn't feel guilty, but I think Dean can't tell the difference of the emotions of guilt and feeling bad.
Dean's like, well, I do.
But yeah. So I don't know. I think it's just weird that we keep going back and forth on Dean's psyche of what he's feeling.
Oh, absolutely.
He's going through, like, a lot of different emotions for someone to be so broken up about stuff. I don't know. It was just kind of weird. Like, I'm always, like, criticizing how much Dean is feeling.
Dean's feeling a lot.
And I don't know.
He's not exactly sure all the things that he's feeling. Clearly, he's not doing a great job at figuring out exactly what he's feeling. But he's feeling, and it's too much, and he doesn't want it.
Well, and I think, too, I brought up the point a long time ago in past seasons that he did not want to talk to Sam about his problems because he didn't want Sam to not look up to him anymore, not put him on this pedestal because Dean's supposed to be better than Sam, right? Or whatever.
Right, you know the big brother thing, blah, blah, blah.
But now that Cass is gone, he doesn't have that person to confide in.
Yeah.
So it's just, he doesn't want to talk to Sam because he doesn't feel that he should be talking to Sam about these problems. And now that Cass is gone, he has no one to talk to. And yeah, he can talk to Bobby, but I think he knows that Bobby would talk to Sam, maybe.
Dean needs a sympathetic ear, and he can't get it in Bobby, and he can't really get it in Sam. And so Dean is just having all these feelings building up again and again after he was able to kind of have someone to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And someone to listen to. Like, a mutual exchange of feelings, I guess you could say.
I don't want to put Bobby down, but I think last time, you know, Dean just wanted to bitch just to bitch.
Yeah.
And Bobby kind of put him down with it. Okay, mm-hmm. You got problems. Yeah, we all got problems, princess. And Dean's just like, okay, I just wanted you to tell me it was going to be okay. And, like, that's
sometimes
it.
Sometimes you just want someone to listen to you. And Cass would always listen to Dean no matter what he says. But now it's like, they got skin in the game. He can't tell Sam.
Yeah.
About stuff. And he's not going to tell Bobby about anything, so here he is, just...
Well, I think, too, Cass was kind of, like, the partial third party.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
He can't really talk to Sam or Bobby about each other. Mm-hmm. Or he can't tell them about something that they did, because if he told Sam or Bobby about Amy, they'd fly off the handle and maybe not understand what's going on with Dean. But if he told Cass, Cass would be like, I understand why you did it. I think it's wrong, but I understand where you're coming from.
And Cass would also let him explain.
Yes.
Let Dean work through for 20 minutes exactly what he's feeling and why he did it. Because it would take Dean at least that long to figure that out. And then articulate it. Yeah, so he doesn't really have that person to talk to anymore. And so Sam's like, I will be that person. Dean's like, you cannot. You're not understanding me.
Yeah.
You cannot be that person for me.
I don't know. I think he wants to open up to Sam. See, I think that's why I believe that. I think he wants to open up to Sam, but I think he thinks that he physically can't.
Which is stupid because they already got past this at the end of season 5.
See,
they should have seen. Hold on. They... I know you're jumping on this, but they had established that they are peers. They aren't really just the older brother, younger brother dynamic. Dean can't really just tell Sam what to do. We're well past that, okay? Yeah. We've figured that out here, and they both kind of accepted that, especially in season 6 when they, like, went their own ways and they were kind of doing different stuff, even though there was, you know, that was complicated. But still, they kind of saw each other more as peers instead of Dean's the one Sam looks up to. But again, we're kind of regressing here to a Dean who sees Sam as a younger brother, again, someone he needs to protect. Well, I guess because Sam's more vulnerable right now.
Yeah, I was literally about to say that.
Hallucinations. And so Dean, that's probably a reason that Dean is reverting back to a big brother role. He doesn't want to, like Dean said to Bobby, he's just like, we have bigger fish to fry. Who wants to hear me talk about my feelings when we have stuff to do? My feelings are not important in the grand scheme right now. We need to focus on Sam. We need to focus on the Leviathan, which is fair. And it's sad that Dean feels like that and that there's not a person for him to talk to. This makes more sense now. Okay. I see. I kind of see what they're doing. The Dr. Phil thing was a little weird with not killing the witches, but, you know, they got the spirit.
Yeah. Next episode is Slash Fiction.
Robbie Thompson.
This is a pretty good episode. This is like a good episode. I remember... because I really liked this episode, and so I knew the title. I was like, I knew I liked this episode, but I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. And it was because I knew I kind of vaguely knew the episode because I read the description, and it's like, oh, the boys are being hunted down by the FBI who are Leviathans in disguise.
Right.
So I was like, oh, yeah, I do like this one. I couldn't remember why. And it, overall, it's just a really good episode.
It's because Robbie Thompson wrote it. We love and respect Robbie Thompson in this house.
Yeah, I do really like that. I do really like that.
Bold bank robberies start.
Yeah, yeah, the bold bank robberies. Well, and then you even asked who's here, which was funny. You're like, why did they put them in the vault? I'm like, you know, so they wouldn't run away. And well, they could just like mass shoot people.
Well, hold on. Because usually, for some reason, in bank robberies, they always shove people in the vault. And I guess it's to get them in like one room.
Yeah.
It's always the vault room. And I'm like, you can't put them in a freaking office. It's got to be like the vault.
No. Which is what they don't want people getting out. The vault's probably the easiest to like...
I guess an inside office that's got one freaking door and like a bank.
Well, maybe they're thinking because they don't want the hostages to get.
You take out the phone.
No. They don't want the hostages to get any idea of breaking down the doors. So at least in the vault, you would feel trapped. You couldn't get out of that.
I guess. It's just funny that that's definitely the bank robbery trope. And then I didn't think about the fact that these are Leviathan, Dean and Sam, and they're just going to murder all of the people.
Yeah, and so what would you do?
So I literally said, oh, when they started shooting them all.
Oh, no, I definitely remembered that. Because that's the whole thing. Yeah, you want to do a bank robbery trope, put all the hostages in the bank vault, and then they're like, okay, we're safe, we're going to stay in the vault. And then just unload into the crowd.
I was like, why are they robbing banks? They're not really. They're just
No, they're not. People. Well, because, yeah, I really do like that they were like, why are they, what's the pattern? Well, and then when we had the Leviathan Chet, the one that was hunting the boys in the last episode, who they, like, maimed by the witch. Anyway, the boys ask him, like, how did you find us? I don't understand. And Chet's like, oh, it was in Cass's head, you know?
Yeah, Cass knew all their aliases.
And I was like, so you're telling me Cassiel, Angel of the Lord, knew all of the boys' aliases and everything that they would do and whatnot?
Okay, hold on. This is either cute because wholesome, he knows all this, he knows things about his friends. Or it's sad because he's an agent of heaven and he should know all about the people that he should be protecting or manipulating. So,
oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking about that.
Because Cass is friends with him. I like that one better.
I mean, I do like that one better, too. But the boys go off while Bobby is interviewing / torturing Chet.
Interrogating.
Yeah, I do really like that he's just screaming from the basement about things. He's like, yeah, we had to kill one with a car. And he's like, he's not dead!
Like, oh, that didn't work. No, he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. And they're like, oh, great.
Well?
Like it. But the police are on the boys' tail again.
Oh, great. The FBI again.
Listen, I didn't like either of the FBI guys because they weren't Hendrickson.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I was so bummed. I really liked the police episodes, but I didn't like any of these police officers. I don't know. All of them were just kind of, eh. It was just sad. I miss Hendrickson.
Everyone misses Hendrickson.
But the boys go off to find a contact of Bobby's. Crazy conspiracy theory of Frank.
Frank Devereaux.
I love him.
Everything this man said, I didn't write down anything he said because just every word out of his mouth was unhinged and hilarious and also a little bit right.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, big brother. Oh, he kind of reminds me of, what was his name from the Shifter episode with the bank robbery?
The Mandroid?
Yeah, the Mandroid. Ronald. Yeah. I mean, like, it's the Mandroids. I don't know, all of it. Like, he was just saying stuff, and I just could not get over how fantastic Frank was.
Frank's energy.
I just love that he's like, oh, is this your computer? Yeah. Smashes it to bits. And Sam's like, huh? He's like, here you go. Here's your new computer. Y'all owe me $5,000.
You owe me $5,000.
What? I don't understand.
Oh, my God. I'm literally, this Frank dude is, he's right, though.
No, yes, more rock seriously.
Aliases, okay? Just basic names.
You're John and Tom Smith.
Yeah, whatever. Smashes Sam's laptop, gets him a new one. Also, can't drive baby.
Yeah, also don't go anywhere with the 2 million cameras. Dean's like, 2 million? He's like, yeah.
200 million.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, please, don't go anywhere. You know, big brother, they're always watching. I'm like, yeah, they are, guys.
If it looks like you can pay for security, keep driving.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm like, dude, they're just going to be squatting.
I know, at this point. I mean, I feel like that's the end of what
I think
doing.
That they kind of do, but.
Yeah. Well, they can go back to Bobby sometime as like a home base, but
right.
Whatever.
That's still really funny.
I do really like when Frank does mention the car. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, you can't drive it. And Dean was just like, really sad face. And Sam looked over at Dean, immediately knowing what his reaction was going to be. No. He's like, oh no, we have to get rid of baby. And of course, Dean is just like so upset about this.
Baby? She has nothing to do with this.
I know.
It's like, they're driving the exact same car. Obviously, you can't drive that.
I know. No one puts baby in a corner.
No one puts baby in a corner.
Sam's like, really? Really, Dean? Like, I'm upset about baby.
Swayze always gets a pass.
Mm-hmm. They're listening to music and all that's on is I'm All Out of Love. I love again Sam's just like, oh, sorry, I'll change it. And I see this is just
no, it's fine.
So perfect for No, because he was just like, no, it's fine, nothing's else probably on. Honestly, like that's really funny, but also he's just kinda trying to hold it in, like, no, leave the song. It's fine. I want to listen to it.
It's fine. We can all leave it.
And I'm dying because that he's seeing it the whole time. And also, the only thing I could really think about is the only time is like, I'm all out of love. I'm all lost without you. Was maybe this is about Cass.
Maybe. This is about Cass.
Are you sure?
I'm 1,000% positive.
Okay.
He's singing it very soulfully. Like, Dean, honey, you just sing it, baby. Belt it. No judgments.
I do. Oh, dude, I was sort of surprised. I was kind of surprised that Sam kind of was showing some judgment to Dean.
He was judging him. Like, leave him alone. Let him sing some songs.
And it wasn't even like a funny kind of like, yeah. It was more of like, Dean, what are you doing?
He was genuinely like, what is going on here?
I know.
He liked this song. I guess he was kind of shook.
I guess.
Which is stupid because, Sam, you've seen through his persona. You know it's bullshit. What are you doing?
I don't know. I think.
What's going on?
Well, and I think Sam should have been, like, more kind of funny about it because we have broken Dean. Like, Dean is really broken if he's doing this, of all things. So I think Sam should have been, like, more of, like, haha, funny, instead of, like, dude, who are you and what have you done with my brother?
Sam should have been like, oh my God, he's really upset.
Yeah, seriously.
I thought he was upset, but now I, like,
well, because then Sam turns the music off, like, okay, I can't do this. This is too weird. And it's like, oh, like, leave him be.
Well, that's fine. Yep, I'll just die
suffer.
Inside.
I know, yeah.
That's fine. Cool.
So they find out the Leviathans are going back through their cases, which was funny. Also, the first one, the woman in white. Hello? They called it a lady in white.
Did they?
Yeah. Sam was like, you know, the lady in white. Again, I wrote this down, and I was like, lady in white? It's a woman in white. Hello, the alliterations.
I know, I do love alliterations.
It was always woman in white. It was never a lady in white.
I must have been writing a note. I didn't catch that.
No, I thought that was really weird because I was like, really? Really? They're going through this? And I like the flashbacks that they did on this again because I thought that was really cute. Be like, oh, look what they've done. And they're like, okay, we got to go off to St. Louis now. And I was like, seriously, you guys are going to go back to where Dean was murdered for murder?
Was he murdered there?
Yeah, they killed him off.
Ah.
Because they found the shifter.
Oh,
dead.
You're right. Yeah.
So he was technically dead.
You're right.
Even though then he showed up later as not dead.
Right.
And now all of a sudden he's showing up later is not dead again.
And then he's also dead.
I'm kind of finding it funny that they decided to bring them back again. I'm pretty sure this never happens again, which is kind of funny, but...
That's too bad. Every couple of seasons, they should have periodically just thrown them back onto the FBI's most wanted board.
I always find it really fun
these
when they're on
FBI. These guys are still alive?
I know, seriously. Clones? That would be funny.
That would be really funny. It would have been funnier if the Leviathans would have been arrested instead of the actual boys.
But... Yeah, I thought that was a little weird. They were so close. Really like the fake Sam and Dean's conversation. All of it was so funny that
they're roasting him.
You know, fake Dean. Also, I like that they were. I was like, I guess that's Leviathan Dean. That's too much of a mouthful, so I'm gonna say fake Dean. But on the subtitles, it just kept saying fake Dean.
You mean evil Dean?
Oh yeah, it's an evil Dean. That's what it was. I was like, it was something really stupid.
I liked it.
Like evil Dean.
It should have been Leviathan Dean, but they just wrote evil Dean.
They could have said fake Dean. I would have been a lot more happier than that. But yeah, Leviathan Dean. Yeah, I was like, okay, weird, but. Fake Dean. It's like, you know, these burgers, he thinks they're as good as sex. And I'm like, really, Dean? Do you honestly think that? But also, he's kind of weird about that. And then fake Dean's like, but they're disgusting. I can't believe this. Like, I really like they're just roasting their entire character. He's being like, yeah, this guy, he thinks he's a damn comedian. He's not even that funny. He thinks funny. He's so self-righteous and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yikes. And also, he's like, and he's full of all his, like, guilt and, I can't stand this dude. And then the other, you know, fake Sam is just like, okay, well, at least you're not eating the stupid plants with goo on it. With all these Satan visions popping out of my head. This case is a bonkers case. He was like, you know, the fake Sam one was like, I even had a brother one time. You know what I did? He's like, I ate him. Of course you did. Because that would be normal.
Yeah. I had a brother, you know, caught like this once. Yeah, what'd you do? Yeah, ate him. Yeah, of course you did.
Oh my God. They're like, oh, I hate them. I hate them so much. And then even later, the fake Sam was like, you want to switch? And he's like, nah, I like this one's hair better. Like you can stay with the big one. He's like, oh, okay, whatever, I guess.
I'll be honest. Leviathan, Dean, and Sam are pretty funny.
They're just roasting each other. I always like that.
That's roasting each other. Really personal stuff.
Yeah. But we get the Leviathans dead, the fake ones, after this whole weird thing. Of course, fake Sam goes to Dean and then fake Dean goes to Sam. And this poor sheriff is shaking it. He's like, what am I watching?
What's going on?
These weirdos are telling the truth. This is bonkers.
Decapitation?
I know. He's like, what are you talking about?
When he gets Bobby that call. Decapitation? What are you talking about?
I know, like, what are you, weird satanics? And I was like, oh no. We do get our 26 blood cannon on here too.
Yes, yes, we do.
Which, So, the boys are dead again.
Woo. Yes, again, the boys are officially dead. That worked out. The cop and the medical examiner just lied. That's fine.
That's fine. They do sadly end up dead because one of the FBI agents was also a Leviathan. Literally. I knew one of them. I thought it was the main guy, and I think they were trying to throw you off your trail a little bit, but I was like, one of these are... It was either both of them or one of them was a Leviathan, and I knew this, and I was like, this is vile, so I didn't like them, but whatever. In the midst to, I forgot, fake Dean tells fake Sam, like, why do you do this? I can't believe you two. Like, why are you so nice? Like, you guys could do anything with, like, all this power, which is true. And fake Dean drops the bomb. Dean killed Amy. And Sam's face is like, what? And of course, fake Dean's like, that's what I wanted from you.
I wanted to see your face when I said that.
Yeah,
that
and then great. Dean comes in. He's just like, Sam, what's wrong? Sam's like, shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Dean decapitates fake Dean. And he's like, well, that felt good.
Yeah, which I bet is sad. It did. Yeah, I bet it did. Little self-soothing, I guess.
I guess.
To kill yourself? Chop off your own head? I guess. I
to know. Dean, apparently.
Apparently. While all this is going on, we have Bobby and Jody, who comes in a little later.
Jody shows up and is nice to Bobby.
Yeah. To figure out how to kill this Leviathan or do whatever.
What's Bobby's doing? Jody's like, I'll just cook you some and clean this place up. It's a nightmare in here.
Yeah. I do really like that Bobby thought that slicing this thing's head off was going to work. Because he's just like, okay, well, I guess this will kind of stop you.
It slows him down.
Yeah. I will never get over this when we watch this live. Because I've said this before and I feel like sometimes you don't believe me on things because I've seen stuff coming, and I literally was like, it's going to be something stupid that can stop the Leviathans, like soap. And it ended up being borax, which is found in cleaning supplies. And I was like, this can't be real. This can't be real. Because I was like, it has to be something stupid. Like, not even like bleach. Something that like is not harmful to humans in any way, really. Right. But of course, it's like acid to these things. I'm like, this is bonkers.
Like the aliens in Signs, where they're like, water kills them or whatever.
Oh,
like,
really? We drink that's it. Fun.
Yeah. Water was their kryptonite for some reason. Not really sure why they visited this planet that's like 75% water.
I don't
know. Maybe you know.
I don't know.
Like, oh yeah, because the Leviathan's like, what is that? Ah! And they're like,
Well, I thought it was I thought it was interesting because it's kind of man-made.
Mm-hmm.
Like Borax, like all those household cleaners are is kind of a man-made product.
Sure.
So when God created the Leviathans and they had all these natural resources, most things come from like natural resources and non-natural resources. There's not a lot of stuff that is 100% man-made. Does that kind of make sense? Yeah. It's not like chemically engineered in a lab.
God wasn't thinking about when humans will eventually create fancy, chemically new soaps.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought it was just kind of funny that I was like, yep, this is what hurts them. I, for some reason, thought this was what was going to kill them. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, this is just hurts them a lot.
It's a lot harder
to kill leviathans. A lot harder.
It's nearly impossible.
And the reason why we know the borax hurts the leviathans is Jody's being so fantastic and was cleaning something and it was just dripping on him. Yeah, I really like that. And I was like, she's just scrubbing Jody figured it all out.
The floor. Oh, she spilled something. Yeah. She spilled something. She's cleaning up.
Oh, I guess before he almost kills this leviathan, I say almost kills, Chet turns into Bobby. So now we have fake Bobby. Oh boy. And then he's like, wow, this is dark.
Wow.
And poor Bobby. See, this is why I love Bobby. Because Bobby's just like, you can't say anything to me that I don't already know. I don't care. You saying it to
me
is
not going to be. We know the same stuff.
Yeah, it's like, I don't care. I say this stuff to me on a daily basis. You saying it to me ain't any different.
It's fair.
But they figured out to slow them down for a while is you got to chop off their heads and then send them somewhere else. Or like bury the bodies in something. And that I always said that. I'm like, listen, if you have such a problem killing something, yeah, just chop all the limbs into four different pieces, put them in cement, bury them across the entire world.
There wouldn't be so many Halloween movies if they had done this in the first place.
Yeah. I've said this many times about Michael Myers. They did this one time, one Halloween, they chopped off his head. It unfortunately was not him. Oh. That's what got me. I know, you thought you got it. You thought you had it. And she was like, I gotta check to make sure it's him. She pulled off the mask and it was someone else. Dude, it was, spoiler for Halloween, I guess. I mean, those movies are really old, but I'm pretty sure it was the second one. Cause
it's a plot twist. That was really good.
Yeah. Always chop off the head. Anything, chop off the head. Or, you know, zombie, double tap it.
Like, I mean, really, when in doubt, you know. That's true. That should be the rule of thumb always.
Yeah, seriously. What was it harm is going to do in that sense?
Mm-hmm.
The rest little bit of this episode is we meet Dick Roman. I mean, he's fine. He's a good kind of character. I feel like everyone kind of bashes him, and I kind of feel bad for the actor, because I feel like if I ever met him, I'd be like, ugh, Dick Roman. Mm-hmm. And he'd be like, sorry.
He doesn't like Crowley very much, though.
Oh, yeah. I kind of forgot Crowley was also in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in for a half second that was like, here, I made muffins that have baby uvulas.
Yeah. Would you like to be my friend? We should be friends, Dick Roman. We should be friends.
Yeah. I also really like that Roman's just like, I would never be friends or work with a bottom feeder like yourself. I will wipe off the demons from existence. And he's like,
if I weren't so busy.
Yeah. And Crowley's like, okay, bye.
I mean, Dick Roman does call them ugly, lazy, gold digging whores. And by them, I mean all demons.
I know.
So Crowley's like, oh, I'll see myself out.
Yeah, I
guess we'll be enemies.
I thought this was kind of interesting, but Roman doesn't know Crowley, so I guess that kind of leads on to believe. Because I thought, I was like, I mean, he's just gonna go to the boys and be like, okay, I'm tired of this guy, let's get rid of him.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, I mean, the boys are gonna be like, okay, you're right. And he's like, oh, listen, I just wanted the souls. I didn't want these bottom feeding assholes. I thought we could work together.
He called me a gold digging whore. I want him dead.
Yeah, seriously.
Where he belongs.
And the boys are like, okay, I guess. And then at the very end, the whole brother breaking up again.
They break up again.
Because Sam's like, you killed Amy! I can't trust you! I'm leaving! I mean, it's all rightfully
so. Well, Sam's really mad that he's like, so yeah, so you lied to me and you killed Amy. She was my friend. That was rude.
Well, and see, I don't know.
Sam is very mad that Dean lied to him.
Yeah,
he's very upset that Dean killed his friend. And then on top of that, Dean's also been lying to him.
Although Dean doesn't have a good reason to. He can't really explain himself to Sam. He's just like, whatever, leave, fine, bye.
Yeah, he was just like, she was a monster, Sam. She killed four people, you know.
That was it. And then Sam's like, you got nothing else to say? And he's like, no, bye. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Sam's like, I can't even look at you. I'm leaving.
Yeah. Like, well, I think the whole thing with Sam, I think he wants Dean to get a rise out of this. And Dean's just stone-faced, depressed, like, okay, bye.
Bye. Good luck.
Moving on to the last episode, we watched The Mentalist. I also forgot everything about this episode. I feel like it was the psychic town of Lilydale.
Mm-hmm.
I do really like, there's a lot of people from Psych in this episode that I kept being like, oh, they're from Psych. Oh, they're from Psych.
There's three people in this episode.
Yeah, three people.
From Psych.
Like random seasons too.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, huh, that's the first season. That's the second season. That's the third season.
Who's the curator dude again?
No, the woman was the curator.
I meant in this episode, the guy. Who was the museum curator?
Oh, he was the bank manager.
I can see why that was confusing.
I was like, what are you talking about? Right. What the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, Dean starts to work by himself, and he's so sad. He just wants someone to love him.
No one is there to appreciate the jokes that he makes on cases.
Yeah, well...
That's sad.
I don't know what you want me to say, Dean. You're not working out really well.
Dean's not the one who broke up with Sam. Sam broke up with him.
Yeah, whatever. He kind of deserves it. It's fine. Anyway, the rest of this episode, I don't know.
Dean runs into Sam. So,
yes. I do like this restaurant they go to. Yes. I would love it.
I'd love some affirmations with my meal. That would be great.
I do really love, too, as soon as the hostess was like, oh, have you been here before? And Dean's like, no. And then he's like, okay, well, we do this here. And Dean's like, never mind, I'm leaving. And then as soon as he hears Sam's voice, he's like, of course he would be here.
Never mind, I'm staying.
Yeah, of course he would. And I'm like, oh, Dean. You know, Sam's gonna go in these places that you aren't, remember? Because he's no longer with you.
And of course, Dean can't just leave and go work on another case. He has to be like, fancy meeting you here. And Sam's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and then, well, Dean brings up the whole point that they should work together because neither of them are going to leave. So they should just get over their issues and work together, which is really funny coming from Dean. Dean, the guy who can't get over any emotion and who can't hold and not let go of grudges from people.
He's not saying to get over it. He's just saying to shove it for a minute, work the case, and then they can leave again. That's fine.
Dean, your compartmentalizing is fantastic. Also, I like how, I feel like everything about this episode, they took forever to grasp.
They were a little slower on this ghost case.
They're just kind of slower in general. I don't know. They were like, oh, is it a ghost?
It's like, we both kind of like figured out. Because I forgot about this episode. We both kind of figured out.
It was just
way
weird.
Before they did.
Yeah. They were just confused, like, why these people, how they had everything in common. They were like, oh, the people doing the acts. Like, three main acts. It's like, yeah. No, duh. What, Dean, you were walking by, like, signs and billboards. You didn't put it together?
She's obviously giving them visions to warn these people.
Yeah.
For her sister to come back and kill them. It's a sister. I don't know how you didn't figure
this out. We've already done an episode of this, though. That's why I'm confused. We've already done something that, remember, the painting back in, like, Providence, right? Where the uncle or whatever was holding this. Oh, my God, we've had multiple episodes of this. The dad, uncle, whatever, was saving people from the little girl who was skinning people.
Yeah, the little girl was killing people,
and
yes.
Then the, not monster at the end of this book, the convention episode with Chuck, with the boys were the ones, like, skinning the people, and it was, like, the woman who was saving them and trying to save people and being like, get away from them! We've done this!
Okay.
Time and time and again!
But, like, this one was so obvious, though.
And that's my whole point, though. That's why I'm like, that's why it was obvious, is because we've seen this again and again and again.
It wasn't even that. It's because this one, I feel like it was just so clear what was happening here.
Yes, and there was twins, and they were like, oh, one's psychic, one was not. One was weird, one was nice.
The one with the real gift, she was the one who wasn't in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
The one who faked it was more entertaining, so she was the one that people liked. Obviously. Guys, come on.
It was weird. I don't know. It was just super weird that they didn't do more digging, and I'm like, guys, this is not... Okay, whatever.
They're just upset. They're working together.
There was really not much about this episode other than there's, like, a few little things that I kind of just wanted to say. I'll go in order, I guess. So, you know how Sam's spoon gets bended after What's-His-Face fake bended it and everything, and then it gets bent, like, later on?
Yes. Like 2 seconds after the guy sits down.
Yeah.
Spoon's bent.
Yeah. Well, it bends on his hand.
Right.
Because he goes, stirs coffee, and then Sam's like, broke my spoon. Someone said this, and I don't know if I believe this, but I do think it's an interesting theory. Because the guy, obviously, later on, is kind of a fake. Because he's trying to practice his spoon bending, and it's not real.
Right.
Yeah. So to me, I thought it was funny. And I don't know if that's the trick. Maybe I guess I should look this up before I say this. Maybe that's the trick to spoon bending, is that you give someone a fake spoon and then it bends.
The guy was like rubbing the spoon between his hands so it would warm, the metal would warm up so he could bend it. He probably had spoons that were made of aluminum. We're gonna see how to spoon bend.
I do wanna make sure I'm saying this right. Apparently you make it look like it's bent in your hand, and then with fast hands, you quickly bend it and then be like, look, here it is.
So you do bend it?
You bend it by hand, yes, but it's not like...
So you, the illusion is the spoon starts off straight.
Yes.
But it,
and then in your hand, you're like, look, you're, when you're holding it, you move it in your hand so it looks like it's bending.
So it's like a sleight of hand thing.
Yeah, it's a sleight of hand thing.
Okay, I understand.
Anyway, so why I say that is because it bends. I just want to make sure this was a heat thing that you stick it in hot water and goes, I don't know.
Right.
So that's why I wanted to make make sure before I got into this, and all the magicians out there are like, that's wrong! And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, someone made the whole point that when Sam's stirring it, it bends. Mm-hmm. And Sam, being so aggravated that he is, someone said it was Sam's psychic powers coming back, kind of, or being there, that not that they've ever gone away. Because if you think about it, why would they just go away?
I mean, Sam's been pretty distressed. That's a fair point.
And so, and that was the whole thing. It's like, well, he hasn't been on demon, blah, blah, blah. But it didn't matter. He's always had this in him.
He's always had this capability.
Yeah. All the other psychic children who were so powerful never were drinking demon blood.
Right.
They just had the urge to do it. Sam just got more powerful because he was drinking demon blood. Mm-hmm. So someone was just like, oh yeah, it could have been Sam bending the spoon. They never say anything about that, but I think that's just a fun little tidbit that I thought of. And I was like, oh, that would be interesting if that was true.
I think it's a fun thing.
Mm-hmm. So, and then when they're in the house too, going through all the people, I liked and didn't like this.
Sure, go on.
Two things. So they're going on like, oh yeah, the brothers, they had a hard time working together because, you know, family makes you crazy. I'm like, oh yeah. And they were like, oh, and these guys said they were brothers, but, you know, it was to hide their lifestyle.
Right.
I didn't like that for kind of two things, because to me, I thought the guy was implying that was going on with Sam and Dean a little bit. I was like, please stop. We're not doing this.
I'm so tired.
Isn't funny anymore, kind of thing. But then I'm always just like, oh, Cass, Dean, that's your brother. Hiding the fact. But whatever. Just me being me. But then the curator does come forward and be like, listen, I don't actually do this, but do you know an Eleanor or an Ellen? And Ellen comes forward just to say, Dean, you have to talk to someone before it gets bad. You know, Dean knows it's Ellen because the guy's like, forgive me. Because she says she will come back and kick your ass four ways to Sunday. And Dean's like, excuse me?
That's Ellen.
That's Ellen. That's exactly it. Could you imagine? You tell that boy that I will come back from the goddamn grave and kill him if he doesn't get his shit together.
Dean is so upset. Ellen reaches out through a psychic from the other side to be like, Dean, you need to talk to somebody, honey. You're really upset. You need to figure this shit out.
Seriously?
I will come kick your ass. You know I can. I can be a ghost. I know how this works. I'll do it.
Also, this makes me sad for two reasons, too, because that means... Well, okay. It's funny because I am in the belief that all of these guys are up in heaven. Because I think Ash is getting everyone together, you know, in their little heaven at the roadhouse and being like, let's see what's on Winchester TV today. That's a funny thing. I think a lot of people say that.
Oh, brothers are angry. He feels guilty.
Seriously. Take a shot. And they're like, what? Yeah, I think it would be kind of funny.
Breaking news. They met up on the same case. They're going to work it together, guys. Let's see how this works
out. Yeah, seriously. So I like that. But it's also sad to me, too, because that means that Ellen, A, is watching Dean and decided to go to him because he needs help, because that's a mother caring figure. And Mary and John didn't do it themselves, is what I was thinking. They are not watching their boys.
Interesting.
And Ellen is obviously watching. This isn't like, oh, she just tuned in. I mean, she could have been recently watching, but ever since Cass died, I want to say, because that's where it's been getting really bad. But Ellen's like, you need to tell someone. You can't just bottle up your feelings like this. You need to figure this out. So even if it's relatively recently, like in the past few weeks, so you're telling me Ellen was like, okay, I need to tell him this. This is really important. I need to reach out. And you're telling me that their parents haven't been watching them from day one?
Okay, first of all, John Winchester is the worst, obviously.
You would think he'd want to make sure that Dean followed his orders.
Why? He already hasn't.
I don't know.
He didn't kill Sam when he was supposed to. He's already screwed up. He's disowned Dean.
Whatever. I just thought it was weird that I was like,
What about Mary? That's only mom.
Yeah, what about Mary? She's in heaven, apparently, somewhere.
I guess she did get to go to heaven.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's in heaven.
No, she is in heaven. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. Because what happens when the ghosts burn up? But she didn't really burn up. It was weird.
No, she left. Yeah, it was weird. I don't know. The rest about this episode, I was just like, yeah, the sales guy is obviously the witch. I do like that Sam, again, it's always Sam that gets into these banana situations. It's like, where's the altar? Where's the altar? Oh, it's over there. This is a Lamaz class. And he's like, I'm sorry.
I'm just
going to leave. And he just walks out the door like nothing happens. Could you just imagine being in this class and being like, what? How do you get on from this? How do you move on from this? Also, another thing is the lady teaching the Lamaz class or whatever is the lady from the beginning of this episode. Who also looks dead at Sam and Dean and was like, aren't you those people that were on a murder spree last month? And they're like, no, ma'am, we're FBI agents. We
totally different.
We look a lot like those Winchester brothers, but they're dead. They're dead as a doornail. And she's like, ah! Could you imagine being like, That was the guy who said that.
He
weird.
Lied. He said he was an FBI agent, but it's definitely that dude.
Yes.
She turns into a crazy conspiracy theorist who actually is right.
I mean,
the Winchesters are not dead.
Yeah. They're not. Ooh. I would love to hear the conspiracies about the Winchesters being alive or dead.
I really would. That would be...
Being like, look, they say they're dead, but they immediately cremated them. Well, it was weird.
This is sus.
The sheriff who shot him and then her daughter who did the autopsy were dead. They're hiding something. The mandroids. Look at their eyes. Like
Charlie would just be like, hey, guys, so the message boards have this new theory. It's really good. Like, she was
that would be fucking hilarious. I need that in my life. So, wrapping up the end of the episode, of course, the boys have their bromance talk. I feel like this is just how these cases go. Mm-hmm. They do their fight, and then the boys just talk at the end. This is, like, so season one and season two.
I like it. I like them sharing their feelings in the Impala, or by the Impala. You know, you answer the hate mail.
Yeah. But Sam does say he forgives Dean, which, well, in a way.
Well,
he
pretty they much, yell first.
Yeah, he pretty much is like, listen, I understand kind of what you're doing, but I don't forgive you. Because Sam's just like, listen, what gives you the right, Dean? Like, I don't understand why you did that. And like I said, Dean doesn't really know why he did what he did. He just says it was
a gut feeling.
It was a gut feeling.
It was
yeah.
instinct.
And Sam was just like, I don't think you have the right to have these feelings right now because you are not in your right mindset at all. And I think Dean doesn't realize how messed up he is to where this point is true. Because I do believe that. I believe because Amy was their first case back. So
Dean, all that stuff.
Post Cass is kind of my whole thing.
Yeah.
And I guess post Sam too, of him freaking out. Like just all of it coming down at once. And so he's like, I have to go back. I have to revert to being black and white, which doesn't make any sense.
Because
the
people near me get hurt if I don't act like that.
I guess almost. Mm-hmm. But he's hurting themselves and I don't know. It's that whole thing. But I think Sam is totally right. I think Dean just doesn't realize how messed up he is and how these decisions he can't make by himself because he's not in his right mindset.
Well, it's weird because Sam's like, I knew her. I made this decision and you just went off and you negated that. You just killed her anyway. So he's mad about that and he's like, you're wrong. But then he also at the end is just like, I get why you did it because if she were just like any other monster, I'm not sure I could have let her walk away. So Sam's basically kind of saying, if I were in your shoes, I probably would have done the same thing. I guess he's still angry about it, but then I guess at the end...
Yeah, I think all of it's just kind of weird. It just was drama to create drama and tension between the boys because now Sam does understand it. But the thing is, though, Dean still went behind his back. It's the whole thing back with Cass not trusting Dean, the whole cheater thing. It's like, okay, right. Well, you did it. You made that decision. You took that choice away from me regardless. And you didn't tell me.
Right.
So I think Sam should have honestly stayed angry because at this point he's like, you didn't tell me. You lied to me. You lied to my face. You didn't trust Sam. And that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
He just said, like, F you to Sam. He was like, oh, I don't trust your judgment.
Absolutely.
Which is funny because that's the whole thing is that Dean was like, I couldn't trust your judgment, Sam. You're going off the rails. And Sam's like, have you looked in the mirror lately?
Yeah. The not sleeping, the drinking. Hello, you are not doing well either.
Yeah. Both of them shouldn't be making these decisions. I think it's kind of what Sam was saying.
Hallucinating Lucifer. That's your leg up on me.
But the thing is, Sam's like, I know the difference though. I'm not stupid. It's still kind of me. I wish we could have talked about this together then maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of Sam made a decision and then Dean made a decision. And Dean's decision was just
Dean negated Sam's decision.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the big brother act.
Yeah.
More, I'm in charge here. I make the decisions. Your decision was a bad one. I'm going to go fix it.
Well, and then he brings up the whole point, and this is why I'm just like, dude, Dean, you're just saying F you to Sam again and again and again, because he just pretty much makes the point of, I can't trust anyone because of Cass now. So I'm just kind of sitting here going like, Dean, so you're saying you can't trust Sam anymore? Do you think, and that's a huge thing, because Cass was like a brother to him. He was family. So if he thinks that Cass is going to betray him, does he think that Sam will also betray him?
It is different.
It is, but I think Dean can't separate that line anymore. I think he's like, regardless... Right. This person was so important to me.
It is bottom line. He can't fully trust them with Cass because his judgment was off and he made a bad decision. And with Sam, it's he could have a psychotic break any minute now.
Yeah.
I think it's Dean's worry.
When I think it is the whole thing, but I think that's why he's worried about Sam.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, I'm pretty sure he says this later, is like, guess what? Cass's decision got him dead.
Yeah, I think he says that later. That sounds about right.
And so with Sam, it's like, okay, well, your decisions also will get you dead too. So I'm trying to save the one person I do have left.
I'm trying to protect you. Again, the big brother thing. Oh, Dean, You're supposed to be past this.
I know. Seriously.
I'm telling you, this bam, bam, bam. These three things that happened to Dean in such rapid succession has screwed him up right now.
I know.
Really bad.
Okay, I guess that is it for this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Hunter Hosts. Check out our ratings for every episode and see where they fall in our ranking. We are your Hunter Hosts. I'm Graham.
I'm Sierra.
We are driving off, and we will see you all next week in our rearview mirror.
Bye. Bye.
Being your compartmentalizing. I can't say this word. Never mind.
You're compartmentalizing. Jesus Christ.
That word.
Oh, you got it.
Compartmentalizing.
No, compartmentalizing. Compartmentalizing is not a word.
Compartmentalizing. Compartmentalizing is.
Yeah, you got it!
I can't do this.
Yes, you got it. I'm so proud of you. That was really good.
Is it compartmental? That's so, like...
Compartmentalizing? What's the "ah" for?
I don't know. To make it easier to say, I'm going like fucking compartment, French.
Compartment. Don't add the T.
Compart.
Compartmentalizing.
Compartmentalizing.
Compartmentalizing.